Well, I would like to extend an extra warm welcome to all you family and friends. Welcome tonight to our special Rock baby dedication service. You know, the Rock's a little bit unusual. We're just sort of a baby-making church. It's a little bit like a factory around here. Seriously, in the last 5-6 years, almost 104 babies have been born. It must be the lovemaking classes that we sponsor once a month here at this church. Yeah, God's all about that. You young people know we talked about that the last 4 weeks, but we didn't want the older folks to hear that because they don't know much about that, you know. Us old grandparents. Anyway, it's really a joy to have all of you tonight, especially for this special service. You know, I was digging around in an old box today, and because I'm so tech savvy, it won't show up on the screen. But you wonder sometimes the significance of a baby dedication. My mother sent this to me about 6 months ago, and I stuck it in a drawer. And here's little Mark Darling. I'll show you later. Any that want to walk by and you can actually touch this picture. I can't even believe my mother got this picture. Anyway, I'm about 3 years old. I'm holding a Bible by a big sign that says, Jesus wants your heart. That was my baby dedication Sunday, Los Angeles, California, about 85 years ago. Anyway, seriously, the picture's serious, 85 years, not quite. I always look forward to these times. I have a very huge soft spot in my heart for little children. So I'm going to have our parents come on upstage, and I'm going to introduce you in our special little guest babies tonight. And then we have a little ceremony that we'll do with them. And during that ceremony, I will turn my back on you, the audience, so that I can speak directly to them. And then we'll have a short message after that for all the parents. So why don't you give them a warm hand and all these beautiful babies. Make sure we fill up this stage. We have great-looking couples, great-looking babies. It's just something else. This is also a very special night for another reason. I'm going to explain that to you in just a moment. I'm going to start at this end. So, before I get started, this is a very special little child right here. Yes, that's right. Now I'm going to explain why. 27 years ago, Brent Knox and I moved up here together to start these churches. And officially, we're 25 years old. Our first couple years, we were trying to figure out what to do. And this is Brent's first grandchild, Titus, right here, Titus Knox. And Brent's with us tonight. And Mary, welcome both of you. It's great to have you. So this is Nate and Sarah Knox. And
this is Titus.
Titus
Nathan Knox.
Nathan Knox. Excellent. Fantastic. No, that's all right. He's a doll. And this is another special guest, actually two, because one of our other pastors, Mike Olmsted, is also here tonight, and Janice. And these are his two first grandchildren. And
This is Benjamin James Witcher. And this is my wife, Selma, and I'm Joe.
Wonderful. And we have...
This is Pepper. This is my wife, Lisa, and I'm Will.
Pepper, this is the first Pepper I've ever met. Here, Pepper, cry. That's beautiful. She's good. That's good. No, she's done. And we have...
I'm Raphael, my wife, Sarah, and our daughter, Marielle Roselli.
Marielle. Bonita. And this is...
Doug and my wife, Alexis, and it's Christian Alexander Smith.
Christian Alexander, excellent. Excellent. Now, this is also special for me because this is my seventh grandchild, and this is Wilder. And every day I pray that he'll have a wilder heart for Jesus than his grandpa or his uncle, his father, all of his relatives.
Hi, I'm Jeremy. This is my wife, Gretchen, and this is Wilder. And wow. He's a wild man.
That's right, he's kicking off his shoes. I want to see some more training there, okay.
Hello, I'm Luke Olson. This is my wife, Makai. And this is Judah Lawrence Olson.
Hello there, Judah. What a doll.
I'm Ted Wright. This is my wife, Gina. And this is Adeline Christine.
Hello, Adeline. Hello. Yeah, okay. We can do that.
I'm Luke, and this is my wife, Stephanie, and this is Blaine Robert.
Blaine Robert. Is he going to play the viola, cello, violin? Probably
violin.
The drums. The drums. Yeah, okay, the drums. Excellent. So as you can see, already these children are very well trained, and they will listen to my message. God has given each of you parents this wonderful gift in these precious children. But I always ask this question, why did God give them to you? And what is God going to try to do through them? And what does he want you to do with them? One of my favorite verses in the scriptures is Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit you are his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard yourself and remain loyal to the wife of your youth. Children do not become godly and well-trained by accident. Godly children are the result of diligent, sustained, focused effort. Today we dedicate these children to Jesus Christ, and we dedicate you parents to commit yourself to raise them to honor God and train them in godly Christian living. So I'm going to have you repeat after me, all right? We'll take these vows together. We commit ourselves today to raise our child, to know, to love and obey Jesus Christ as parents. We commit ourselves to honor and obey God's word, the Bible. We commit ourselves to raise and train this child that God may use them for his purposes. We understand this is our sacred responsibility. With God's grace and help, we will strive to raise our children for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you and praise you for these precious eternal souls, these precious little children, and the privilege that you have given to each parent, each father, and each mother to love them, to enjoy them, to nurture them, to reveal God to them. We ask you, Heavenly Father, that each and every little child would come to know Jesus Christ personally. We ask that each one of them would grow up in the ways of God as little Samuel, and that at a young age they would have a heart sensitive and soft to the voice of God. We ask you that you would strengthen these marriages, watch over and protect these husbands and wives. We ask you, Lord, that you'd give them the grace and the strength and the power they need daily, diligently, to love and nurture and train godly character in each one of these precious little lives. Keep them safe, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Give them a big hand, and probably this way. Ryan Stahl will have a little certificate for each of you and a little gift, a little booklet. You know, thank you very much, Luke. One of the great joys of my life has been actually the privilege. Almost every couple that was up here tonight, I knew them before they were married. Almost every couple, that's true here at The Rock. And I watched them fall in love and get married and now have babies. And it's just been an extraordinary privilege to watch the serious devotion of these young couples at The Rock. They are seriously devoted to the Lord and really striving with all their heart to raise their children for Jesus Christ and to reveal him to them through their lives. I had two simple but I believe profound parenting tips that I would like to share with all of you this evening. And maybe we could bow our heads for a brief word of prayer, and then I'll share it with you. Father, we just thank you again tonight for the privilege, the great privilege, Lord, not only of knowing you, but of being parents. We have many grandparents here tonight. What a privilege it was, Lord, to give birth to these children, to our children, to raise them, and now to see them having children of their own. Lord, we live in a very difficult world. We live in a world that you know, we know, wants to steal the heart of these little children. We live in a world, in a system of this world, that wants to do all that it can to turn the heart of that little child from God, from godliness and the ways of God, and destroy their life with sin and selfishness and destructive ways of thinking and all the distractions of this world. We ask you, Heavenly Father, that you just give us as parents crystal clear perspective and the strength to apply what we hear tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I just say it's been so interesting for me personally, going from being a father to now a grandfather. And to be honest, the Bible didn't have a lot to say about being a grandfather. It has a lot to say about being a father. It has a lot to say about being a godly man. But I've just asked myself, well, Lord, how can I, in a grandfatherly way, apply the same influence, but in a different way, with my grandchildren? How can my wife and I be a positive influence in their life? And one of the most profound things that we can do is pray for our children. If you're a grandparent here tonight, or you're an aunt or an uncle or a friend or relative, pray for them. Pray that God would give them strength. Pray they wouldn't grow weary in the midst of all the diapers and all the little sickness and all the little throwing up and all the times when you feel weary. To remember their goal, as we're going to talk about tonight. To remember what you're striving to do. Remember to support them. Man, a word of encouragement. There's probably not a day that goes by that in some way or another I don't shoot off a little email or a phone call to one of my children just to encourage them. Or to see those little grandchildren and just show them the love of Jesus Christ in this old man. Through a love and hug and encouraging word, whatever I can do, whatever my wife can do, to show them the generosity of God, the joy of God. I know for many of you, I used to tell you that someday you become a parent, and you thought, for a time anyway, that you died and went to heaven. I remember when I was first married, I thought to myself, you know, I don't really want to go to work. At least I thought when I got married I wouldn't want to go to work because I just want to be with my woman all the time. But then I had a baby. Then I really didn't want to go to work. It was hard in those first couple months. I'll never forget bringing Celeste home from the hospital. And she was a little Caesarean baby, so her little head was all round and she had all this little Eskimo hair. And I just stared at her. Sometimes I'd sneak into the bedroom at night and just watch her breathe. I couldn't believe she was actually mine. You feel so much love and joy when you first become a parent. You feel like your heart could just burst. And I'm serious. I would just, well, Kathy would always tell me, if you wake them up, you got to help calm them down. Well, not a lot I can do. I don't have certain equipment. I gently remind her of that. She'd say, well, you'll find a way. But I'm serious. I just used to creep into their bed at night. I used to take my guitar into their room at night and sing to them. I just loved the privilege of being a father. Little children are an incredible gift from God. They're just an incredible gift to God. And tonight we dedicated these little children to God. And all of us have great hopes and dreams for every one of these children. If you're a grandparent here tonight, I'm sure you feel that inside. You have hopes and dreams and aspirations. But I want to ask you parents a question, all of you. I want to ask you this question. If you were to write a simple sentence or two, what is your vision for your children? What is the goal that you are working towards that will motivate you each and every day for the next 20 years of their life until it is accomplished? What is your vision? Now, I want to talk briefly about this. I only have two simple things I'm going to share with you tonight. In Proverbs 29:18, there's a verse that has been on my heart and on my mind. It has been sort of a guiding light for my fathering, my husbanding, my life, and pastoring. It's out of the Berkeley Bible. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people run wild, but happy is he who keeps the law." Where there is no vision, the people run wild. Let me put it this way. Your vision, true vision, is a law to your life. It's the goal you live by, the goal you live for. Without this compelling and constraining vision, you'll simply have wild things grow. And your children and your lives simply run wild, and nothing good will ever be accomplished without vision. Vision is what constrains me and restrains me. Vision is what keeps me going. This thing in my mind's eye of where I was aiming, what I'm going for, I could see it as a young man. Every one of my children, I had a specific goal, a specific vision. I'm going to share it with you this evening. You may use it. You're going to get a little booklet tonight if you'd like, and it's stated in that little booklet, and that little booklet will give you a lot to think about. I'd encourage you, it's not very long, to take some time to go through it. But this was my parenting vision. To develop and raise children who will love, follow, and obey Christ with all their heart and throughout all their lives. And to give them the life skills and training needed to succeed as a husband, a wife, a parent, a person, a Christian, and a servant of God. That was my vision. And that vision was on my mind every single day that I got out of bed and they lived in my home. That's not a lie. I prayed over that vision every single day. And every day and every week and every month, all of Kathy's eyes, life choices, were directed by that vision. The things that we did in our home, the kind of sports that we chose, the things we didn't choose, things we stayed away from, things we embraced, attitudes that we worked on, attitudes that we worked on in ourselves, the way in which we arranged bedrooms, the kind of attitudes and behavior and relationships that we expected between one another in the home. All of them were guided by that vision. Going back to Malachi, why did God give me these children? What does God want from my union with my wife? Godly children. And I believe that if God wants something, he'll give me the strength and the wisdom and the insight to somehow get there. But to be honest with you, most parents, not all, but most that I've encountered over the years, have no vision when it comes to parenting. They have visions that they're going to remodel their kitchen. I don't know of a couple I've ever met who just decided one day, oh, I can't stand this kitchen, and they just start tearing it apart. Without first deciding, can we afford it? Can we get a loan? What kind of cabinets would we want? Let's go to Lowe's, or let's go to Home Depot, or let's go to Menards. Let's look around first. What color paint do we want? Let's kind of draw it out. Even if it's on a piece of paper and it's not really architecturally done, you know what it is you're going for. But most parents, parenting is just an exercise in chaos management instead of managing the chaos out of their lives with strong vision, leadership, and wise management. Vision is paramount and supremely important, for it's the law that guides you, and otherwise, you'll run wild. You'll run wild. I always ask the question, will a boat fit my vision? If it didn't, I didn't do it. Would a cabin fit my vision? If it didn't, I wouldn't do it. Does cable television fit my vision? If not, I didn't do it. And I could go on and on and on. Everything I measured with that vision. How does it fit? Will it help advance what I'm trying to do? Or will it help tear down what I'm trying to do? And if there was a risk, boy, I thought twice about it. All my prayers with my family were directed towards this vision, that they would all someday grow up to be servants of God. The Bible, in fact, tells us in Peter, live as servants of God. This goal flowed from mine and Kathy's vision for our own lives. And that's what I want to talk about next. To bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ in everything we did. In our marriage, in our lives, Kathy and I had one just statement. It went over and over, to make Christ attractive to the world. And we knew that to raise moronic little kids would not make Jesus Christ very attractive. If everywhere we went into a grocery store, our kids were out of control, pulling everything on the shelf, who's going to want what I've got? But oh, when you walk in somewhere with four kids or three kids or two kids or whatever they are, and they have good manners and they smile and they'll look people in the eye and they're pretty well behaved and self-controlled, people think they saw an alien. They wonder, where did you come from? My daughter recently asked me, my oldest daughter, God has given her husband 5 children. She had to beat me. She did. I had 4. I tried to talk her to stop, and I said, look, you got 2 and 2. You got 2 boys, 2 girls. Just stop. And then little Caroline was bored. I'm really glad she didn't. That was nice of you not to take my advice, actually. And she said, Dad, you know, I go into Costco sometimes. I'll have all the kids with me, and people just stare at me. And one of the first things, they'll look at me and go, are those all yours? My daughter's real small and kind of petite. She's like, are those all yours? She goes, what do I say? I said, they sure are. God has blessed me so much. I'm telling you, these kids are just incredible gifts from God. Just say it like that. She goes, that's great. I think I'll try that. They were on a tram recently. We were at some conference, and she said, Dad, these people were just stunned that we were riding together on this tram, and the kids were just sitting nicely till we got to Vets Auditorium. And they just stopped us, and before they got off, they just made comments about it. I remember myself, I was just thinking to myself, Lord, I can't wait to have children, because the opportunities are unbelievable, because who ever sees really, rarely, well-behaved children? Just don't see it. Second tip I want to give you tonight is this. What is the most important step to accomplish your vision of children dedicated to the Lord? What is the first and most important step? You must live what you're trying to produce in your children. You must exemplify it and be their living, breathing example. Ask yourself this question, Mom and Dad. What do my children consistently, none of us are perfect, not even close, what do they consistently see me living out, Mama living out, day in and day out? What do they see? What do they feel? What do they experience when they're around us, which they are, for many, 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 many years and many hours? Let me just run through this little bit of questions to get you thinking. Do they see you love and obey God's word? Do they sense that in you? Do you love and obey the word of God? The Bible is your guiding light. Did they ever see you read it? Did they ever see you talk about it? Do they see joy come out of you as you talk about it? Do they see you respond to it? Do they see you making changes in your life because you've looked in the mirror, the Bible, and you've gone, ooh, okay, Lord, I got it. I need to work on that. My attitude kind of stinks, Lord. I've not been real thankful. I need to change that. If your children do not see you respond to your authority, God, why would they respond to you? What kind of hypocrisy is that? Are you devoted to growing in your faith and in godly character? Man, I'll tell you, character has been a pursuit of my life. It still is. I think one of the phrases my wife most often repeated to me in the first 3 years of our marriage, I'm embarrassed to say it. She loved me. She encouraged me. I've told you this before. I'm extremely lucky she stayed with me. She'd say, my goodness, Mark, you need self-control. My goodness, Mark, you need self-control. And I didn't like it at the time. It was really aggravating. My goodness, did I need self-control. You have no idea. You have no idea how many tears I shed, how much begging I did to God to change my life, to help me, or I would ruin my family. And I knew it. I knew it. I knew I need God. I need your help, God. I need to change, God. I need to grow. Help me grow in my character. Help me to be more patient, more loving. Are you passionately in love with Jesus Christ? I don't say that with any embarrassment at all. Jesus Christ is the best thing in my life, and I love him, and I'm crazy about him. He's the best friend I have ever had and still have to this day. Do they see this enthusiastic love for Jesus Christ in your life that comes out of you? You just can't hide it. I mean, look, dads, they see enthusiastic love for fishing, and they see enthusiastic love for hunting, and they see enthusiastic love for football. And some of us, they see enthusiastic love for beer. Well, do they see enthusiastic love for Jesus Christ in the man in their life? Do you embrace your God-given role as a husband and wife and excel at it? Do you embrace it? Do you go after it? Don't you realize that little 10-year-old daughter's watching you, Mama? That little 8-year-old son is watching you, Daddy. Do you love being a husband? Do you love being a father? One of the greatest gifts you'll ever give your children, men, is loving their mom. Do they see that? Do they sense that? Do they get, man, he's crazy about mom. He's crazy about mom. And they see in that a picture of Christ's love for the church and for them as the way Daddy loves Mommy. These are things I thought about every day. And I'm not lying. Do you strive for excellence in your life, in your roles, and in your work, your job? Are you devoted to prayer? Are you a person, a man or a woman, who believes in prayer? And your children have heard, answered prayer stories from your mouth. Have they seen them? Will they grow up seeing God is answering our prayers? Do they see you joyfully devoted to church and to fellowship and God's people? Or is it always sort of dragging out, okay, oh gee, it's cold out, we got to go to church tonight. Oh gee, we got to go to this. That's not what they saw in Kathy and I can tell you that. The church of God has been our life for almost, in May we'll be married 35 years. For the 35 years we've been together. And before that, it's our life. The body of Christ, the people of God. We love them and we need them. And it was always an opportunity to serve and go encourage. And oh, sure, there were times we were tired or were worn. But they saw in us, this is our joy. I felt at times an extra burden to show that because it's my job. And the last thing I wanted the kids to think is our dad just does it because it's his job. Do they see your enthusiastic service to God and to other people? Do you get joy in serving others? Do they see your joy in caring for others? There's a verse in the Living Bible that I memorized many, many years ago, and I go over it. It's written in the front of my Bible, every Bible that I have. Your care for others is the measure of your greatness. Your care for others. My kids at times could overhear me talking on the phone. They could see how I deal with people. They could see how I dealt with them or their mom. Did they see over and over, Dad cares about others? Dad cares. God cares. They can make that connection because they see it in Dad. They see it in Mom. Is the joy of God revealed in your daily life? I'm telling you, I've lived 57 and a half years. I've done a lot of things in my life before I started following the Lord. And after I started following the Lord, I've experienced a variety of things. There's no greater joy in my life than God. Knowing God, walking with God, the experience of God in my life, the presence of God in my life, the opportunity to talk to God wherever I am, to see God work, His companionship, His friendship. He's been so good to me. Do they see the joy of God? Do they see your faith in action? Are you mission-minded? Are you on mission? Do you realize that Christ has a purpose for your life and they can see it in you? Your faith is in action. It's not something you just talk about, but it's lived. Your kids will not become what they do not see passionately and attractively revealed in your lives as parents. You have the opportunity more than anyone else in all the world to influence these precious little babies. More than the president, and I really mean this, more than the culture. They live with you day in and day out, most of them for the next 20 years. And you have the opportunity to speak to them, to exemplify to them, to love them, to nurture them, to hug them, to pick them up when they fall, to comfort them, to encourage them. Yes, to train them. Give them the correction and the loving firmness that they need and the gentle touch they need and the affection that they need and the guidance that they need. And I promise you, on the authority of God's word, that if you'll go after this, you have a very, very, very good chance of producing children that are going to want to know the God they see in you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for this incredible joy of having babies. They're so precious, Lord. Their little eyes, their little faces, the little smile, they look back up at us. Sometimes my wife and I will be at home and watching some old show. And the other night we were watching Combat, of all shows. And it was all about the soldiers finding a little baby in an abandoned house that the Germans left. And they all go kind of gaga over this little baby. I kind of wanted to show it tonight. Men just kind of melt, these hardened soldiers, this little baby. And the whole show was about them trying to rescue this little tiny baby. Brought tears to my eyes, Lord. I thought about each one of my children. I thought about each of the children here. And I'll tell you what, Lord, we're going to give our lives, and I'm going to give my life fighting to save them from this world. Fighting to see them saved through the power and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please, O God, give great strength and encouragement and hope and comfort and reassurance to these young moms and dads. They have a challenging journey ahead, a rich journey ahead, a journey that will be filled with all kinds of joys and sorrows, trials and tribulations. Help them never forget their vision. Help them never forget that what they exemplify to their children is most important of all. In Jesus' name, amen.